You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Good, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Look Ahead, part of the SB Nation NFL show. He is RJ Ochoa. I am Rob Stats Guerrero. Before we get started, I want to remind you that the SB Nation NFL show is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you may have heard. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code SBNNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That's code SBNNFL. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. What's up, RJ?
Nothing, Stats. I was just signing up at DraftKings Sportsbook using code SBNNFL. Very special and particular code, so I wasn't listening to anything you said. Incidentally, it's great to be with you. It's great to be alive. Great to have football in our lives. The weather feels fantastic outside. Finally starting to get legitimately cool. The great fall foods are passing through. We're getting closer to some of those cooler foods.
Hold on. What do you mean the weather's getting colder? You live in Texas. What do you know about the fall?
It's getting cooler. I didn't say cold. It's getting cooler now.
At this exact moment, what's the temperature?
You really want to know? Like, you really want the exact temperature? Yeah, I don't think you're going to be pleased. It's going to upset you. What's the exact temperature? It's 64 degrees outside.
It's 50 here. Shut up. You don't know anything about the fall.
Well, you know what? It feels cool. It's getting close to the point where I can wear a hoodie and not feel, you know, stifled by the humidity or the heat. So are you at the point where you're wearing jackets every time you go outside?
Yes. Yes, RJ, because it's almost November. And here in Connecticut, in the Northeast, that's what you do in the fall. You put on a jacket. I know you think that's like quaint here, but we have a whole other wardrobe that we begin to roll out. Your whole wardrobe is like polos and ponchos. I don't know.
you do have some flannel on today. Is that,
I do.
Is that geared for the weather? Like, are you like, you know, I gotta stay warm. I need the thickness here associated with the flannel.
Oh yeah. You gotta prepare, man. I'm always cold anyway. So like, you've seen me, I do shows with blankets on me and stuff flannel all the way.
Yeah. Stats Voldemort, certainly. But, okay. I have two questions for you, Stats. The first, I've been asking everybody here on the NFL show, what is your go-to Halloween candy?
Man, to give out or to receive?
Ooh, both. That's a good question.
Okay. Well, to receive, I like Snickers. I'm a Snickers fan. Snickers and Butterfinger are my two.
Good. You saved yourself on the Butterfinger. So well done. Okay.
To give out, I go with Starburst because I do worry about allergies and stuff, and at least with Starburst, like, wow, you don't have to worry about that.
Look at you. That is heads up. What a seasoned dad move right there. I was actually going to say the best thing to give out is the little bags of M&Ms. You know, talking like the bag that fits in the palm of your hand, because that's like, it's an enjoyable, it's a slow grind. That's what, you know, what I like. But Starburst, that's a good thought. My second question is, are you willing to admit that you were wrong?
About?
Well, you and I came on here on The Look Ahead, the best show that the SB Nation NFL show has to offer, tied with Monday Football Monday, of course. And you trashed Ja'Marr Chase. You said, oh, he can't even see the ball. It doesn't have the lines that it did in college. How silly. You were the only person who expressed any sort of doubt or hysteria about this particular statement from Ja'Marr Chase. Well, Stats, those people who choose to leave reviews on the SB Nation NFL show do get them read aloud. We are legally, I haven't checked on our contracts, but I think we are legally obligated to read all of the reviews. We have one from High Fives Only, incidentally, a 5-star review titled Ja'Marr Chase. And it reads as follows. How do we know Ja'Marr Chase wasn't trolling with the lines on the ball response to the preseason drops? Since you were the person who decided to foolishly lay yourself out in the name of making fun of Ja'Marr Chase Stats, how do you feel? Do you think he maybe was trolling and then you got bit by it?
I think the words you're searching for are thank you, Bengals fans, because obviously I have motivated Ja'Marr Chase to figure out how to catch the football, and he is doing it at an historic level. So you're welcome, everybody. I'm just here to solve problems. That's all.
Here to solve problems, here to provide delightful treats in a way that isn't going to compromise any immunodeficiencies or allergies that you may or may not be aware of.
Well, let me just say, if you come to the Guerrera household on Halloween, you will be getting a full-size candy bar. I do not give out those ridiculous, quote-unquote, fun-size candies. You come to my house, you make the effort, spread the word around the neighborhood, and I think word's starting to get around a little bit. You come here, you get the regular-size candy bars.
You know who I could see you being as well, Stats, besides the supremely detailed person who cares about the health and well-being of children in your neighborhood and community? I could see you being the, like, ooh, what are you dressed as? And, like, super entertaining and, yep, like, you're a scary mummy. You're a beautiful princess. I could totally see you entertaining the children that way. If any children are listening to the show, you know, make sure you subscribe. Leave a rating, write a review
there
as well.
There you go. So here's the thing. I always used to tell people, I am a good person. I am not a nice person. But debatable. I have to say, since becoming a parent, like, I am totally the guy. I'm into the Halloween's my favorite holiday anyway. So when the kids come to the door, like, I love it. I totally play it up. Like, you know, if they're a Ghostbuster, I ask them about ghosts. Like, you get a little
who
something
you gonna call?
When you come,
yeah,
to my house.
That's interesting. Something that I'm now starting to think about, my wife and I are expecting our first child late January, early February, right in the moments that the Cowboys will be prepping for Super Bowl 56, obviously, is if parents are out trick-or-treating, which is something you plan on doing, obviously, at what point are you home to hand out the candy? You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be in both places at once.
Yeah, but my kids are so young. My oldest is 7. My daughter is only like 19 months, so she's going to be like 2 houses and done. But we're going to be done by, you know, it's only going to take like 45 minutes to do the whole neighborhood. So we're good.
So you're saying you go do it and then you get home, you lock down, watch the Cowboys beat the Vikings on Sunday Night Football and pass out the candy at the intermittent doorbell.
That is exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Okay. What are the kids going as, since we're this deep into the subject?
Well, my son is going to be a mummy and homemade.
I knew I had mummy on the brain from somewhere in a past conversation this week.
Okay. Yeah, homemade costume on that one. So I think he's going to be a little disappointed. And my daughter, whose name is Diana, is going as Wonder Woman.
Look at that. Look at you, Stats. You're just what are you going as? You can't just walk around, you know.
You know, I do love to dress up, but I have absolutely nothing. I could always do the Clark Kent, which is super easy because I have a bunch of Superman t-shirts. So throw a white dress shirt on over the Superman t-shirt, throw some glasses on. I'm Clark Kent. There you go.
Now, here's what you do, Stats. You go get a green cap and you just draw on your finger and you're Luigi. That's what you do. You draw a mustache and you hold your finger up, you know what I'm saying? And so you're Luigi.
Why would I be Luigi?
Because you're tall. You're taller than Mario.
Because I'm tall? Dikembe Mutombo has to be Luigi for Halloween?
Mario and Luigi have been on my mind lately. The new Mario Party comes out this week. And so, you know, you can't be Mario. You're too tall to be Mario. So you're Luigi by default. It's better than Waluigi, if we're being honest.
Luigi's better anyway. I always thought that. Anyway, if you are new to the show and you're still with us after that Halloween divergence, we take deep dives into the biggest games of the week, and then we hit every single other game in the lightning round. And for the first time in a long time, RJ, we actually start with Thursday Night Football. Do you know that this is the best Thursday Night Football matchup in terms of combined winning percentage this late in the season in the history of Thursday Night Football?
Which goes all the way back to 2006, in case anybody is unaware, back when it was only on NFL Network, and that was a big old, you know, big old deal. I did not know that it was the best in terms of what you just outlined, but I am kind of bummed because some of the juice was lost. And this was something that Benjamin Solak mentioned to you guys on the Oddcast earlier in the week. I thought he put it really well in his guest appearance, the reason that the Oddcast was awesome this week, and that I have been looking forward to this game for the Cardinals. I want to be able to say they're legit. I want to be able to say they took down the Packers and all their strength. Now I can buy into their undefeated record. Now, we're talking the morning after the news about J.J. Watt's shoulder surgery. Seems like he might miss the rest of the season. I haven't quite decided the impact that I feel like that is going to have on this Cardinals team. I still, despite the fact that Devontae Adams and Alan Lazard are out, I have been burned way too many times in my own personal and professional life by Aaron Rodgers. I'm not betting against Aaron Rodgers. I don't believe in the Cardinals enough to bet against that inevitability. And so I think Aaron Rodgers wins 6.5. I'll take it. I'll feel great about that. And I think the Packers win beyond cover.
See, this is the luxury that you have when your team is quarterbacked by an elite first ballot, no doubt Hall of Famer, right?
Just like Jimmy Garoppolo, for sure.
That's why this is coming into my head. Like, it's such a luxury. Like, you don't have to have everything be perfect. You don't have to have your roster at full strength all the time. The Packers are going into this game, no Devontae Adams, no Lazard, against an undefeated team on the road. And if the Packers won, you'd be like, yeah, I could see that. You could only entertain that thought when you have a quarterback as good as Aaron Rodgers. He is absolutely that good. I think that the Packers are still going to win this game. And it's just like, just enjoy it, Packer fans. I don't know what's going to happen beyond this season. Who knows? But like, don't take that for granted. The fact that you have a good chance to win this game when you're missing what you're missing. No defensive coordinator too, P.S. Like, it's unbelievable.
It's stupid and dumb and stupid, but that's who they are, dude. And I also I'm really looking forward to this game from the Packers perspective as well. Look, they're elite. I'm not gonna pretend that they're not, but you and I said a few weeks ago, in fact I actually said that they would get to 6-1 after they showed up against the Detroit Lions and your San Francisco 49ers, and they were 2-1. We looked at their next four games and said those are a bunch of tomato cans. Pittsburgh Steelers, at the time Cincinnati somewhat looked like a tomato can. Now granted, Green Bay barely won that game. The Chicago Bears, who Aaron Rodgers owns, and the Washington football team. There's no competition. And I feel like that's kind of been the case. I feel like the NFC teams, all of the contenders, and feels like there are certainly more in the NFC than there are the AFC, have just kind of had the luxury of playing, I don't want to say bad teams. I'm not trying to say that none of these teams are real, but you could pick apart the schedules to this point for each of the contenders, and you could look at their losses. I think you can explain away the Cowboys' losses to the Buccaneers. Okay, that makes sense. The Bucs' losses to the Rams. Okay, that makes sense. The Rams' losses to the Cardinals. Okay, that makes sense. The Packers are the only one that has the weird loss to the Saints, who it's kind of hard to buy in on, especially for my friend Rob Stats Guerrero. So this is it doesn't have the juice I thought it or wanted it to, but it is kind of a show me who you really are game for both Green Bay and Arizona.
Yeah, for Arizona, like, if you want the top seed in the conference, this is a game you win. You know, like, this is how you get that. It's not, you don't just beat the bunnies on your schedule. You beat the good teams too. And it'll be a nice test for them, because I still think, I can't remember if there's a team that's been undefeated for this long, RJ, that really hasn't been embraced universally.
I have one for you. I got one.
Okay.
Do you remember in, I believe it was 2013, when the Denver Broncos were like, everybody's like, they're the best team in the AFC West, but the Chiefs were still undefeated. And it was kind of, they even got to like 11-0, I think.
Is that the Alex Smith Chiefs?
Yeah. And it was just kind of like nobody really bought it. Like they kept, and you know, you have the people that are like, how can you knock what the Chiefs are doing? They're undefeated. They're blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't know, man. Like, they didn't have it. And it was really obvious that they didn't have it. And that, I feel like that's kind of the case with the Cardinals this year. Like, yes, they're undefeated, but do you think that they really have it?
No. I don't, to be honest with you. And I hate to say that, like, because it sounds like, oh, the 49ers guy just hating on the Cardinals. It's not to say that they are a bad team or a paper tiger or anything like that. It's just, I don't look at them as overwhelmingly the best team in the NFL. I really don't. I would take the Chargers over them. I think I would take the Buccaneers over them. Like, there's a couple teams I think I would put there, but they haven't lost. And so show me something tonight, Arizona. Let's see it. Let's see you go out against an elite quarterback. Same thing to you, Kyler Murray. Like, knock this guy down here. And I don't want to hear any of those passing of the torch stories that people like to say when two great quarterbacks match up. But, like, knock Aaron Rodgers down a peg. Let's see it.
Not to brag about myself and my own, you know, vast amount of NFL history that exists in my brain, but it was the 2013 Kansas City Chiefs. They got to 9-0 and they lost to the Denver Broncos. Actually, I remember that game was on Sunday Night Football, and that was coming off of their bye week that they lost. So their perfect 9-0 record blemished by that particular loss. I have one final question for you on this game, Stats. Do you think that we will see more J.J. Watt on the broadcast than we have seen on average Russell Wilson over the last two Seahawks games?
No, we're going to see a lot of J.J. Watt, though. And there's already people tweeting like, oh, we've seen J.J. Watt make miraculous recoveries before. Maybe, maybe he's just broken down now. Like,
Do you think this is a notable injury for them? Like, it's notable, but like, do you think it's like there are injuries that it's like, oh, season's done. Like, yeah, they'll be a playoff team, but like, that's it. Like, their ceiling has been lowered. Like, has their ceiling really been impacted?
No, it hurts for sure. I know just from experience, he wrecked the 49ers that game that they played earlier this year. He was a huge part of their win. But I don't think it was like their whole defense orbits around J.J. Watt. I mean, certainly he's nice to have. But look, when you got your quarterback and your quarterback is playing at an elite level like we just talked about, you can sustain all this stuff. Obviously, it doesn't feel good and you wish he was out there, but like, they'll be fine. I don't look now and say like, oh, the NFC West is wide open. You know, none of that.
As somebody who does have a vast and supreme amount of NFL history, I will say that I am partly rooting for the Green Bay Packers tonight. I never want anybody to ever touch the 1972 Miami Dolphins. I love when that ends. I love the story. Why? I love the, like, you know, cheers to another one thing that happens there. I love it. So you know what, Packers, go preserve NFL history. I'm all about that. Let's get it done tonight.
I love that the Dolphins do that. Every time the last undefeated team falls, they all get together. Anybody that's around and available from that 72 team, they pop the champagne, they celebrate, and they should be proud of it. Why the hell not? Like, that's an amazing accomplishment. Good for you.
There's nothing that exists for one team in NFL history. Nothing. Like, there are multiple teams that have won Super Bowls, that have dominated in Super Bowls, that have been the one seed, that have had the MVP, that have had rushing leaders or whatever. Like, but there's only one undefeated team. That is super cool.
You do you, Miami Dolphins. All right, let's move on to the next game on our list, and that would be Pittsburgh going to Cleveland, RJ. The Browns are favored by 3.5. I just want to know, like, when did this all of a sudden switch to a game that the Browns should win?
When the Steelers were awful this year. Like, I don't believe in the Steelers team at all, dude. I mean, not even a little bit. I've never really understood the phrase, I don't trust, like, that person as far as I can throw them. I don't understand the phrase in general. Like, I don't understand what that means.
Because you can't throw somebody very far, but you still trust them even less than that.
First of all, speak for yourself. I could throw somebody really far. But second of all, again, like, I don't measure trust in distance, like physical distance like this. It doesn't, but whatever. Anyway, the Steelers, the last time we saw them wasn't exactly a game that, you know, gave us a lot of trust. It was that Sunday night game that went down to the wire that TJ Watt won for them against Geno Smith. I mean, like, it took, you know, a Super Saiyan moment from their best player to beat Geno Smith. Seattle Seahawks, which is a difficult sentence to say several times in a row. I've just realized this. So, dude, I don't believe in them. I don't believe at all in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're going to lose this game. I think they're going to lose. I've been saying this for all season long. I think they're going to lose and collapse. Mike Tomlin's pissed off about the USC job. I mean, like, I think Mike Tomlin's awesome, but
I didn't understand that. Like,
I do think it's weird. It's like, dude, like your name's just being connected. Like, it's
right.
Not,
like,
you know,
he was specifically mentioned. It wasn't like people came to him out of the blue. That was my only gripe with it.
And he got upset with the reporters when they weren't the ones who threw his name out. You know right. what I mean? Like, that's the part that I like. If you're going to be upset with somebody, fine, be upset, but be upset with the source of it. Don't be upset with the messenger. Like, they're just asking you because that's their job.
Yeah.
But he's awesome. Totally maintain that. But man, they have a ceiling, a very, very, very low ceiling because of Ben Roethlisberger. I just don't see it. I don't see it at all. The Browns are a little bit more of a resilient team. I know they're beat up. I know they have a lot going on right now. But at the very end of the day, their floor is like equal to Pittsburgh's ceiling. And that's why I think, look, 3.5, dude, this is easy money. 3.5. I'll take Cleveland all day long.
Couple of things. One, you agree I want to know what's said.
Gotcha.
I want to know what's going on with Baker Mayfield. Like, Baker, maybe you should just be hurt for a couple of weeks. You know, like, he's got the torn labrum and he's got the fracture in the shoulder. Now he's saying he's going to try and go out there. Like, maybe just take a week or two and rest. Because here's the thing, RJ. The Browns can't have one of those bad Baker appearances, right? Where he just goes out and blows up. Like, we've seen it this year where for whatever reason, like, he can come out and throw three picks on three straight possessions. Like, They need to win this game. It's a division game. And I know Case Keenum is nothing special, but I don't know. Like, I think Baker might just need to take a week and heal up a little bit, because we can't have him, if you're a Cleveland, go out and just totally tank your chances of winning the game.
Cleveland is in an interesting stretch. They get the win over Denver. They've got Pittsburgh. Then they're at Cincinnati. I mean, and I do wonder, I do, because the Browns have kind of, like, call it arrived or whatever. They've had their moment. They're a legit force in the division, right? Like, you know, they're it's no longer this, like, upward rise. Like, you're here. You're in contention. And so I do wonder if they're looking past this Pittsburgh game to a degree. Like, you know what? This Pittsburgh team, I listen to the look ahead. They're trash. I know that because RJ has been telling me forever. I mean, so, you know, the real test is on the road next week against Cincinnati. We want to go beat the Kings of the AFC North and be the Kings ourselves. But still, dude, I mean, like, I agree with you. Like, there's some weird vibes when it comes to the Browns, but they are not the Steelers. The Steelers have one of the worst set of vibes. What do you trust besides TJ Watt? So, like, TJ Watt carries the is amazing, but he cannot impact the game in a massive way. I mean, granted, he did win the game for Pittsburgh, but my point is, like, Cleveland has that same sort of factor on defense as well. I mean, so let's not forget or mitigate that. And I just trust this isn't a game about who I trust more. It's who I trust less. And I trust Ben Roethlisberger less than anything associated with this game.
And I know that Mike Tomlin has never finished with a losing record, and that's, he should be very proud of that. But when we talk about paper tigers, look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? They beat Buffalo in week one. That's a nice win.
They barely beat them. That was Buffalo losing more than anything else, but agree.
But their other wins are the Broncos, and you mentioned it, the Geno Smith-led Seahawks in overtime. And when they've played anybody good, they've lost. They lost to Vegas. They lost to Cincinnati. They lost to Green Bay. I know we don't like to think of the Pittsburgh Steelers as paper tigers, but are they?
Yes. That's literally what I've been saying for the last 10 minutes. That's, have you been here? Have you been listening? They suck, dude. And they're gonna, I don't think they're gonna get blown out, but like, this is one of those things. Cause you're right. Like, people don't want to acknowledge it, where the broadcast is going to be like, you know, this isn't Pittsburgh football. You know, Mike Tomlin's, and I think Mike Tomlin is an amazing coach, but I think he's limited by what he has to work with. I've said this several times, and you and I were talking about it offline about the 49ers. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the latest teams who tried to run it back, and you cannot run it back. You just can't. You cannot recreate who you were last year, the year before, etc. It will come back to haunt you, and that is going to happen to Pittsburgh, ironically, on Halloween.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Let's move on now to our next game that we're going to take a deep dive on. That would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to the Big Easy to take on the Saints. The Saints are getting 5.5 points in this one. New Orleans is coming off a nice win for them, a big win in Seattle. I know it was Geno Smith, but the Saints really needed that win. And I don't know, like, this whole Jameis Winston thing. He's got 14 total touchdowns this year, RJ. 4 turnovers only. Now, it doesn't count some of the turnover-worthy plays that he has made. but like maybe New Orleans is sort of getting their stuff together now.
No. No.
That's you saying that, not the Saints hating me.
You hate the Saints and it is what it is. Again, they barely beat the Geno Smith led Seahawks. I mean, I almost said Jets. Wow. The Saints are very, very strange in that they can kind of, they're like that team that rides the mechanical bull. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, fine. You know, but they're going to get bucked off. Like not to pull the curtain back too much. When you said, you know, this was a game that was like of interest this week, I was like, what? Like the Bucks are going to blow them out, dude. Like the Bucks have maybe the best offense in the NFL. The Saints have a really strong defense, but they cannot. As soon as the Bucks put up 20, like, can Jameis put up 20 points? Do you have any faith in that? That alone.
Yes, he can. He can also throw four interceptions while he does it, though. That's the thing with him. You never really know what you're going to get, but if he is, he's going to have to get better on third down. They were just 2 of 13 on third down, and that was against the crappy Seahawks defense. Obviously, much tougher in Tampa Bay. But, like, that's the thing with Jameis. He can do literally anything out there. He could have a game where he throws four touchdowns and is dropping bombs all over the field, or he could have a game where he throws four picks. Like, the variance between him game to game is massive.
Do you think Mark Ingram plays a factor at all this week?
Is he going to play?
I don't know. Is he an emotional lightning rod for the team? I mean, is there anything involved here with Mark Ingram that you feel?
No, the ghost of Mark Ingram is not going to do much for the Saints this year. I'm sorry. His ancient bones are not going to lift them to a deep playoff run.
I don't think this is going to be close. I know that people kind of like want it to be because it's boring how teams are running away with divisions in the NFC. So it would be interesting and, you know, fun if the NFC South was somewhat up for grabs. And I know this is the first game that the Buccaneers lost in the Tom Brady era last year at the Superdome, etc., but nah, ain't happening.
And I know that we're all tired of hearing it, but I'm just pointing out Tom Brady, 21 touchdown passes, leading the NFL. Passing yardage, over 2,200 passing yardage, leading the NFL. Like, damn, man. Every time we think we're done with this guy, he just continues, and not just to play well, to dominate. He's dominating right now, RJ.
What will last longer, Tom Brady at an MVP level or the Fast and Furious franchise?
God, I don't know, man. The Fast and the Furious, like, they could keep making those movies forever. You know what? The last Fast and the Furious movie will have a Tom Brady cameo, and that's how you will know that it's over.
That's the actual, like, ride off into the sunset. I like that. Interesting.
I have never seen a single Fast and the Furious
movie. That's a lie.
That's
no way that's true.
Nope. Never seen them. I don't know what they're about. I've never seen a single one.
Lie. I don't know what they're about. Stats. Come on.
Dude. Are they thieves? Like, what do they do in these cars?
At times.
Do they just drive around?
I've only seen three of them. And the three I've seen are the first three, just so you are aware. It's the Fast and the Furious, the first one. The second one, amazing name, Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah.
And the third one, Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift. Those are the only three I've seen.
How many more are there after that? Like four?
I think that there are 9 total. I'm actually going to look this up.
How did The Rock get involved? That's what I don't understand.
I mean, how did he not? It's really a good question. How could he not, rather? Okay, so I'm looking this up here. There is, so those are the first three. Then after that, so the first one stats was called The Fast and the Furious. The fourth one was literally just called Fast and Furious. And it wasn't the word and. It was the, like, swoopy sign.
Ampersand. That's called an ampersand.
Swoopy sign is cooler. The fifth one was called Fast 5. The sixth one was called Fast with the ampersand and Furious just with the number 6. Number 7 was called Furious 7. Number 8, check this out, stats, was called The Fate of the Furious. The Fate of the Fast, nobody gives a crap about, but The Fate of the Furious is important, and we have to figure it out. The 9th one, which is set to premiere this summer. Oh, I bet you anything, stats, during the Super Bowl, we're going to get a Fast and Furious trailer. That's, like, super predictable. Came out this past summer, my bad, was F9. So forget everything I just said. And then part one of the untitled 10th film premieres in 2023, and then part two in 2024. There was also, I should mention, Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, So altogether, there have technically been 9 films under this umbrella.
Let me just say, I hope they're a lot more interesting than you reading that list.
That was, I guarantee you, somebody laughed. That's all I make. I just want to improve people's days. What I care at my core is for people to be happy. Clearly, you don't share that same concern.
No, what did I tell you before? I'm a good person. I'm not a nice person. This is
no,
a perfect
actually
example.
What you said is, I'm a good person. I'm not a great person, was your exact verbiage.
No, I didn't.
It's pretty embarrassing. You can't, but we could literally check the tape, and I promise you, that's exactly what you said.
I disagree, because I've said it many times before. All right, let's move on to our final deep dive of the week. I know you're very excited because your Dallas Cowboys are playing on Sunday Night Football. They are heading to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. The Vikings are getting... No, hold on a second.
Yes, that's your second mistake in a row. Nope, they're not.
The Vikings are favored in this game?
They're not. The person who put this together, I really hate to call him out. Had a typo here. And
yep,
so
I mistyped the spread. I was going to say...
Good person, not a great person, clearly not an accurate person, also not a nice
great
person.
Typist, I'm saying that.
But yes.
I was going to say, that makes a hell of a lot, because I was about to run to DraftKings and place my bet. The Cowboys are giving 2.5 points to the Minnesota Vikings. Dallas should win this game, RJ. But I will say, with Minnesota, they have shown, if you are not on your stuff, if you don't have your I's dotted and your T's crossed, they're going to beat you.
Yeah. I agree. This is actually a game, as the Cowboys have won 5 games in a row, something that doesn't get old. I should mention again, in case anybody's unclear, the Dallas Cowboys are winners of 5 in a row. As this run has been going on, which is almost close to the Fast and Furious franchise run, I have said, watch out for that Vikings game. You know, in various shows we've done at Blog on the Boys, everybody should check out blogontheboys.com, Blog on the Boys Podcast Network, Blog on the Boys YouTube channel, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we have asked the question, Stats, because this is the hubris, and you know this well as somebody who had a lot of it, certainly over the summer, as we all had our various takes about different things. You get to a place where you're in a winning streak where you say, when's the next time we're going to lose? You know, what's the next loss? And you get a lot of Cowboys homers who just look at the schedule, and you know this feeling, win, we're going to win. We're not losing to them. Win. And I will say, after this week, the Cowboys get the Broncos and the Falcons, which look like 2 easy wins. But for a while, I have said, watch out for that Vikings team. That Vikings team is not as bad as you think they are. When they were 0-2, you and I were basically the only people who came to their defense. They should have very well beat the Cincinnati Bengals in week 1, if not for the weird Dalvin Cook fumble. They should have beaten the Arizona Cardinals in week 2. They had the game-winning field goal attempt. It obviously didn't go in. I mean, they are not your average 3-3 team. Kirk Cousins is a very memeable, jokeable quarterback that a lot of people love to bag on and make fun of. He is efficient. I'm not like this is what this turns into. If your take is not Kirk Cousins sucks and is a loser, then you are made out to be this person who thinks he's the best quarterback of all time. No, there's a happy medium here where you can acknowledge that yes, Kirk Cousins is often turnover prone, but he is one of the more efficient quarterbacks in the NFL by a lot of measurements, EPA, et cetera. And so this is a Cowboys defense, Stats, that is very opportunistic, that has had a lot of turnovers, but in a weird, amazing, fortuitous way has kind of willed them into existence at the right time. I've told you before, week 1, I know the Cowboys lost, but the only reason that game was close was because DeMonte Kazee forced a Chris Godwin fumble at the goal line late in that game. I mean, if that's a touchdown, that's not a close game. The same player, DeMonte Kazee, picked off Justin Herbert in the end zone the following week against the Chargers. The Cowboys won that game by 3 points. The Trayvon Diggs pick 6 against Mac Jones. I mean, massive. You know, I know there was a lot of things that happened after that, but that, I mean, again, really sort of turned that game around. And so I at a certain point that, theoretically, that luck would dry out and you wouldn't get those turnovers in the exact moment that you need them like they've been able to do. And at the end of the day, you do still have one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and an insane offense. And so you do trust that. But this Vikings team could be a team that catches the Cowboys. I don't want to say asleep at the wheel, whatever. I should mention that both teams are not only coming off of their buys, Stats, but both the Cowboys and Vikings are coming off of their buys, coming off of games that they both won in overtime on walk-off touchdowns. The Cowboys against the Patriots, the Vikings against the Panthers. They played last year when they were both coming off of their bye in Minnesota, where this game's taking place. Mike McCarthy smashed some watermelons, and the rest is history. I will take the Cowboys, but I feel a lot less comfortable than I have certainly over the last couple of months.
I want to see what happens if this game is close at the end. And the reason I bring that up is because Kirk Cousins gets a lot of criticism because people say, oh, he's not clutch. He falls apart in prime time. He falls apart in crucial moments. This year, RJ, I don't think people realize how good Kirk Cousins has been at the end of games. In week one, he takes the team 60 yards in a minute and 47 seconds to get the tying field goal in the fourth quarter. And then, like you said, Dalvin Cook fumbles in overtime, but they're in position to win. In week two against Arizona, he goes 58 yards in 2 minutes and 3 seconds. They missed what would have been the game-winning field goal. They beat Seattle in week three. He was not good against Cleveland in week four. I agree.
And week they beat Seattle, not Geno Smith Seattle.
Right.
They beat Russell Wilson Seattle.
Right. Week five against Detroit, he goes 46 yards in 37 seconds for the game-winning field goal. And week six against Carolina, 46 yards in 42 seconds. They miss a game-winning field goal. And then in overtime, he throws the game-winning touchdown pass. Like, Kirk Cousins has been money when they need to drive down the field at the end of the game this year. He's been awesome at it.
You know, I think the Detroit game might be the most impressive one for them, like, in terms of assessing the resilience or the clutchness of Kirk Cousins, because while that wasn't a great game for the Vikings, people forget, because this is what happens in the NFL. Like, you absorb every bit of information for a week, and then the new week happens, and you just forget everything happened.
Yep.
That was a really ugly game, but the Lions went down and scored, and Dan Campbell went for the win, went for two when an extra point would have tied it, and got it, and gave the Lions a one-point lead, to your point, with 37 seconds left, or whatever it was, 40 seconds. And so, I mean, Minnesota gets punched in the mouth with under a minute left, and Kirk Cousins gets them into field goal range, gets the win. Unfortunate for the Lions, which is why, you know, no spoilers, I hear. I think the Lions do win this week. But, yeah, man, I mean, he's Kirk Cousins, again, people love to make their jokes and bag on him, et cetera. He is very, very, very good. And so I think he's somebody, you know, people talk about primetime. One of Kirk's only wins in primetime came on Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys 2 years ago in 2019. Now, what I will say about that game that I'm actually, you know, something that we've talked about at Blogging the Boys coming into this one, Dak Prescott, the final moments of that game, led a wonderful drive, was 7 of 7 on that drive. And the Cowboys got to the goal line. They needed a touchdown, and they turtled up. They handed the ball off to Zeke Elliott twice in a row, ruined their opportunity at scoring. It really did feel like that drive could have been, yeah, I know I'm not trying to play revisionist history, but that could have been like an MVP moment for Dak Prescott. Well, all I'm saying, Dak was flawless on that drive, and then the Cowboys took it out of his hands. And they've learned a lot because they're a different coaching staff. And so I'm anxious to see. You mentioned, like, I want to see, you know, what the game looks like if it comes down to Kirk Cousins. I want to see what it comes down if it comes down to Dak Prescott. I mean, this is not Jason Garrett's Dallas Cowboys, and we're learning that more and more week by week.
What is up with Dak? Is everything okay there? He's getting MRIs. Is he going to play here?
He's good. I know that it's always an interesting storyline, you know, whenever there's somebody like this, a high profile player, but Dak had the calf injury against the New England Patriots. He's fine. I wouldn't be like, it wouldn't be the most stunning thing in the world to me if he didn't play, but I would be relatively shocked if he does not play on Sunday night.
It wouldn't be the most stunning thing in the world, but you would still be shocked if he doesn't play.
Yeah, like on a 1 to 10 scale, it would be like a 7 for me if he didn't play. I mean, and I think that makes sense because, like, you can see it, right? Like, it was less than 2 weeks ago that the calf strain technically happened. And he's been very optimistic and confident. Every one of his teammates, coaching staff, Mike McCarthy is not exactly, you know, tipping his hand, which is kind of the Mike McCarthy way. One thing I will say, stats, just to squeeze in here about the Cowboys, is Lyle Collins is back for them. Their right tackle is back from his 5-game suspension that was handed down after the season opener. And Lyle Collins missed all of last year for the Cowboys because he showed up to camp out of shape. And so that is the entire Mike McCarthy tenure as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And he was really good for them in 2019, the last full season that he played. Well, the Cowboys had their first practice on Wednesday, the day before you and I are recording this, streaming this, and he was not automatically the team starting right tackle. Now, you can say this is ceremonial and just like a matter of, like, you know, public, we're going to make you earn your job back. But that is a long, I mentioned this is not Jason Garrett's Dallas Cowboys team. Consider that 2019 season, the last one Lyle Collins played, the Cowboys allowed Jason Witten to return to the team after a complete year away in retirement and from day one regain his starting position on the team. Now, Jason Witten's going to be a Hall of Famer someday, and you can make an argument that, you know, that made sense or whatever, but I really applaud Mike McCarthy for saying, you know what, Lyle? you've proven to be really untrustworthy. You showed up out of shape. You got suspended. You tried to bribe the drug test collector. I mean, excuse me for not automatically handing you your starting position back when Terrence Steele, who's played right tackle in his absence, is an undrafted free agent from last year who has worked his tail off to get to this point. I like that. And I'm not saying that this is something that no coach has ever done, but it is a stark difference from who Jason Garrett was to who Mike McCarthy is.
Wow. Congrats, Mike McCarthy, for not being Jason Garrett as a head coach.
That is what the bar is, to be very clear. I mean, and if you endured 10 years of Jason Garrett, you would be thrilled if somebody wasn't him as well.
Now that I totally understand. All right, RJ, we have made our deep dive. So there's only one thing left to do in today's show. You know what it is. The Week 8 Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round!
All right, let's get it started. Carolina goes to Atlanta. The Falcons are giving 3 points. They've won 3 of 4, RJ. Is Arthur Smith, like, starting to get it together for Atlanta?
He is, because they're playing some really bad teams. And the Carolina Panthers are a really bad team. The Panthers are frauds, big time, capital F, frauds. Not about this. Bad vibes, Falcons, Dirty Birds. The only Atlanta victory that will happen over the course of the next week, by the way, when it comes to their professional sports teams.
Should the Panthers go with PJ Walker instead of Sam Darnold?
Why not? I mean, like, I'm not a PJ Walker truther or anything, but why not? I mean, Sam ain't it. Mm-mm.
Exactly. Miami goes to Buffalo. The spread is Buffalo by 13.5, RJ. Good luck, Tua.
Tua had the awful quote that was heard around the NFL world on Wednesday. Not awful for him, but what was it? I don't not feel wanted. That's what it was. The double negative. Not a good sign. Buffalo coming off their bye. The last time they played this team, I know Tua was knocked out and Jacoby Brissett came in. I mean, by the way, not a fan of you know, division rivals getting both their games out of the way before Halloween or before November. Don't like this, but yeah, Buffalo, 13's not enough. I mean, I'll take that all day long.
San Francisco is in Chicago. The Bears are getting 3.5 points, which is stunning to me, RJ. I believe this is the last game that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to start as 49ers quarterback, which is a nice little bow because this first game he started as a 49ers quarterback also came in Chicago, where you may have heard he is from.
Interesting correlation between the 49ers and the Bears when it comes to backup quarterbacks and kind of mystique, because correct me if I'm wrong, Colin Kaepernick's first start for the 49ers was a Monday night game against the Chicago Bears. So, you know, I love when teams are kind of interlinked in that weird way. You're right. Obviously, he's from Chicago. We had talked in the offseason this might be Trey Lance versus Justin Fields. We're halfway home. Justin Fields said earlier this week, I really want Justin Fields to be awesome, but he said, I just feel it. I know I'm going to go off or something like that. And it's like, dude, you can say that. And like, if that happens, it will be like, he called it. You know what I mean? And if it doesn't, nobody will ever care about that quote. But I will say, stats, two things. One, it does feel very Kyle Shanahan-y this year for this to be like the game, for him to be like the antidote to Justin Fields going off while he's benching Trey Lance. Like, the poetry of that just kind of writes itself. That being said, I know you're down on them. I know you're not picking the 49ers for a long time. I know your Twitter profile avatar picture is changed in protest. I will take the 49ers because the Bears are that bad, as much as I want Justin Fields to be good.
Nope. I think Fields is going to go off in this game. Just like you said, I think he has a massive chip on his shoulder because I really believe that Justin Fields thought he was going to be the 49ers quarterback when they picked at 3. And the 49ers do the two things you can't do and win football games. They don't force turnovers and they give the ball away constantly. They also make up for that by getting defensive pass interference every time the other team throws deep. The Bears are winning this game. I have learned from hard experience, RJ, there is no bottom to losing. Next up, the Eagles are in Detroit. Detroit is getting 3.5 points. If there was ever a game that Dan Campbell was going to win, I think it might be this one.
Now, everybody from the 313, throw your, I'm not going to say that because, you know, family show around here.
Mother love and hands up.
Yeah, exactly. The 313, baby. This is it. Dan Quinn, man, I do love Dan Quinn, but Dan Campbell, this is such low hanging fruit and such a, you know, an outsider take. But he just seems like such a joy to play for. And I know that they're losing, but I loved last week. I loved how he said, this one's for Jared Goff. Like, we are going to sell out for our guy, even though he's not even like their guy. You know what I mean? Like, that, that's an incredible like asset that he has in his wheelhouse. I've said forever in my life, if you can get 53 dudes to believe the sky is orange, you can get them to believe anything. And the sky is orange in Detroit. When you kind of like the 49ers Bears thing, like you can kind of see the narrative and the story arc of this, you know, this story happening in the season. You can really see this like being what breaks the Eagles. I mean, and like, you know, Bleeding Green Nation and Philly, you know, media like really freaking out. Like, we were the first loss to the Lions, right, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And this could, you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. This might be Jalen Hurts' last start as the Eagles quarterback. If the Lions come out, when the Lions come out, it'd win.
Let me just say, I was so proud of Dan Campbell last week because I think that's how he needs to play every game. Onside kick to start the game. Fake punts. That's what you have to do, especially when you're the lesser team. And let's face it, Detroit's going to be the lesser team in every game they play. You have to play like that. You have nothing to lose. All you're going to lose the game, maybe, but like you're probably going to lose anyway. So just go for it. I think it's more fun for the players anyway. I hope he keeps it up. I think I'm going to take the Lions. I'll take the points in the Lions in that one.
I'm totally with you. Dan Campbell, get it done. Dan Quinn, get it done too. But Dan Campbell in this case.
There you go. Tennessee travels to Indianapolis. The Colts are favored by 1.5. I don't care that Indianapolis just won, RJ. They stink. Carson Wentz never should have been in that game. He was literally throwing passes that were bouncing off 49ers defensive backs. Tennessee seems to be getting their stuff together now with wins over Buffalo and Kansas City. I will take the Titans all day, especially getting points.
I think it's very Carson Wentz-y, that the like signature moment of that win for them, which is kind of their signature win of the season, was the touchdown late to Michael Pittman that should have been a pick.
Ray Kirkpatrick is standing right there, and he, instead of making a play on the ball, he decides to not even jump.
I don't understand that. So like, that's my point. Like, the best moment from the best game this season for the Colts, like, was only made possible because a defender literally collapsed. So yeah, dude, I would love for the Colts to be competitive from a, you know, Cowboys standpoint. I want to see that first round pick move as far back as possible that Philly's going to get. It would be great if they could win the AFC South. This would go a long way towards that, but I just have a hard time believing that Mike Vrabel's squad, despite the fact that they lost to the Jets, is going to destroy Kansas City after beating Buffalo and then lose to Carson Wentz. It ain't happening.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Cincinnati is in New York to play the Jets. The Jets are getting 10.5 points. No Zach Wilson in this game. Not that it really matters. All I'll say for Cincinnati, don't have your letdown game, right? You're coming off the big win against the Ravens. You have Cleveland next week. Just handle your business.
They will. I mean, the Bengals have reached that point where we can trust them. They're very exciting. They're very fun. I don't like some of their uniform combinations, but I do like some of the other ones. It's a very complicated thing for me. Mike White is starting this game for the New York Jets.
Who? Have we had him on this show? I don't even know.
We have not. He was a fifth-round draft pick of the Dallas Cowboys not too long ago in 2018.
Sweet. Things are obviously going great for Gangrene.
This is a bigger question, but in a long-term question, maybe an off-season question. Did Robert Saleh make a mistake choosing the Jets? Assuming he had a choice, because he kind of was in the running for the Detroit job as well. I've posited this question before.
I don't think so, because
culture is so difficult to overcome.
Yeah, but you know what? He's found his quarterback, he thinks. He's got some extra first-round picks coming up. Thank you, Jamal Adams. You know, the first year, I never hold against anybody. Like, it can go bad. You know, you're still trying to build up your team here. I think it's fine. I think that, I know it's hard for Jet fans to be patient because they've been bad for so long, but I think you got to give it a little time there in New York. In Houston, the Texans are going to play host to the Rams. The Rams are giving 14 points in this game. I don't think it's going to be enough. If you're LA, just get in and get out and don't get anybody hurt. Take out your guys as soon as you possibly can, and you can easily beat the Texans.
Cooper Kupp is so incredible. I mean, he is stupid. They've played 7 games this season. In 4 of them, he has had multiple touchdowns. I mean, you said it on the podcast this week. It's amazing how Matthew Stafford has elevated him from like a really good receiver to an elite receiver. And so I mean, it's the Texans, dude. I mean, the Texans are so obviously having a fire sale too. I wonder if like, if they're not reaching the point, like Brandon Cooks was really upset about the Mark Ingram trade. Like, I wonder if they're not reaching that point where, like you mentioned, the Lions stink out loud, but they're having a great time. You know what I mean? Like, Everything about the Texans just reeks of dysfunction right now. I mean, it's really bad.
Well, they're going to be trading Deshaun Watson before Tuesday's deadline. By the way, why didn't you tell me I had forgotten to update the spreads on the screen while we're streaming here?
I mean, I didn't want to call you out. You've already made several mistakes today, including misquoting yourself and then getting the spread wrong for the Cowboys and the Vikings. So, you know, I didn't want to give you your third strike and then you'd be out of here.
I'm having the Carson Wentz type game. Next up, New England goes to LA to take on the Chargers. Last year, these two teams played, RJ, and Bill Belichick put it on Justin Herbert with a 45-0 whooping. I love this game. I want to see what Herbert does. And I think it's also a nice test for Mac Jones, too.
I do, too. I think Mac Jones is putting more distance at present time. You're right, first year sort of thing. But he looks like the best quarterback out of this class in this incredibly small sample size. And I think this is his moment. I think he was going to have his moment against the Cowboys. And after the Kendrick Bourne touchdown, and then Dak Prescott had his moment. And this is his this is his moment. I don't know if I'm taking New England to win. I'm still undecided there, but I will definitely take them to cover. I think five is way too many. The Patriots are kind of getting right. Not like to Patriot right, but they're stable. This is the most stable they've been in the post-Tom Brady era.
This is exactly what you want to see if you're a Patriot fan, right? You get your rookie, you start him right out of the gate, and yep, you take some lumps. But what are we seeing now with Mac Jones? He's getting more comfortable. They're opening the playbook up a little bit for him. They're letting him be a little bit more than a game manager. All you want from him this season is to be better at the end than he was at the beginning, and he absolutely looks like he's doing that, to his credit. I agree with you. I'll take the Chargers, but I think the spread, I completely agree. I think this is going to be a one-score game, very, very close, maybe a field goal here or there, but it's a nice test on both sides. And then we get to this game, RJ. The Seahawks hosting the Jaguars. Seahawks are giving 3 points. I mean, Trevor Lawrence, if you can't win this game, you're coming off a bye week. You finally got your first win. Geno Smith is Geno Smith. Like, give the Jacksonville fans something to latch onto in this game.
It's never a good thing for the viewer when that sentence you said is applicable on both sides. If you can't win this game, because that's the thing for, like, I guarantee you every Seahawks fan, when Russell Wilson went down, they said, okay, we got these games before the bye. You know, hey, Pittsburgh is going to be a little bit tough, but, you know, I listened to the Look Ahead, so I know they're trash. And New Orleans is going to be tough because, you know, Sean Payton's awesome. That's what Rob Statzgerber says every week on the Look Ahead. But Jacksonville, like, we're at least getting one. You know, like, we're definitely getting that one game. I think that the worst quality, I talked about Ben Roethlisberger being that for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The worst, the thing that weighs a team down the most in this game is on Jacksonville's side with Urban Meyer. The Seahawks are really bad, but they are not Urban Meyer's team. And so I will take the Seahawks just barely because of that.
Let me just say, the heat is on Pete Carroll in a way that I have not seen. Usually when a coach loses his starting quarterback for an extended amount of time, they almost sort of get a pass. That is not happening with Pete Carroll. Mina Kimes is calling him out, saying the Seahawks need to really consider moving on from him. If you go to Field Goals right now, our Seattle Seahawks community, they are killing Pete Carroll. I'm looking at an article from Wilson Kahn, who said that he should be fired. They actually have a poll up there, and 76.8% of the respondents think the Seahawks should get rid of Pete Carroll. And if he loses this game, RJ, to the Jaguars at home, Seattle would be, what, 0-4 at home this year? Like, is this the end for Pete Carroll? Could he have a quote-unquote retirement at the end of this season?
I think he very well could, and I think the Seahawks are in a place where, I mean, you know, you could be Pete Carroll-less and Russell Wilson-less at the start of 2022, which I don't think was, like, inconceivable, certainly when this season began. But you're right. Like, it's strange that it's become incredibly obvious that Russell Wilson is the reason for Pete Carroll's success. And they're like, oh, this sucks. It's like, well, this was kind of known. Like, you know, who didn't know this? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of weird how Pete Carroll's, like, fessed up to that. It's not even the vibes. The mood is off in Seattle. It's been off for a while. Like, this is, I think it's so hard to call teams that don't win multiple titles a dynasty. But I think you get my point that the Seahawks had this, like, dynasty-like run.
It's where an they era.
Right. That's a better word. And when you have an era, it doesn't just fall off like at the beginning. It slowly crumbles, and you maintain legitimacy. And the Seahawks mm-hmm. have for a long time post Legion of Boom, but we're you know, they're running on fumes at this point, and it's about to come to a screeching halt, I'm afraid.
I totally agree with you. The talent there has been eroding since their Super Bowl, and it's over now. Like, it is over, unfortunately, for Seattle fans. The last game we're going to look at, Washington's going to Denver. The Broncos are giving 3 points. Like, what is there to hope for in this game? There's no young quarterbacks to be really looking out for. Like, what is there? If you're a fan of either one of these franchises, like, you're just rooting for a better draft pick?
So we talked about Dan Campbell and how you said, like, that's how you got to coach every game, right? Like, you know, balls to the wall, like, you know, go crazy, like, yep. whatever. And Vic Fangio is like the total opposite of that. You know what I mean? Like, Vic Fangio is like, we have to survive. Like, we've got to run the ball. Like, it's Denver is so boring and unwatchable. The only thing I know for certain in this game stats is that at some point in time, Taylor Heinicke will be a quarterback that John Elway talks himself into as an answer right. for the Broncos.
That Heinicke guy looked pretty good again.
Yeah, I that's the only thing I'm 100% confident in. I think I saw you had a tweet about this last week on Thursday Night Football. I forget who you quote tweeted, but Teddy Bridgewater, incredible story, incredible person, incredible leader, but not it as a quarterback right now.
No.
And that's just like, this is so gross. This is such a gross game. I mean, like actually, you know, like we said about the Jaguar Seahawks game, like the, you know, this is the, if you can't beat this team, you know, game for both sides. But this for both sides is the, what is there to look forward to? Like, there's nothing. Like, these are such rudderless, directionless franchises. Denver, I feel like it's starting to become hip to people, or more hip to people. If not for a decision that Peyton Manning made, this team would be, they would be lumped with our stats. Like, oh, you haven't had any success since the 90s, right? Like, that's, you haven't had any real run since the 90s. But because Peyton Manning chose them and smiled upon them, they had a nice little 5-year run early this past decade. And so this is, you know, this is what happens when you don't have somebody elite doing things for your organization. And that's definitely not, you know, who Washington's been for a very, very long time.
Do you think that either one of these teams tries to trade for a quarterback before the deadline on Tuesday?
No, because I think both these teams like have convinced themselves for further options farther down the road. I think Washington still wants to see Ryan Fitzpatrick for whatever reason. I do think it's nice of them to see who Taylor Heinicke is. I do think that both of these quarterbacks, Taylor Heinicke and Teddy Bridgewater, will be backup quarterbacks in the NFL for a little bit longer. And I like that's like
and
right now, like,
be.
Yeah, we talked about Dak Prescott and like, you know, because the like a lot of Cowboys fans are all of the mindset like we need to, you know, trade for a QB2 at the deadline. There's nobody right now that you can trade for. But in the offseason, sign yourself a Taylor Heinicke or a Teddy Bridgewater. That's the type of backup you need. But, you know, a game full of future backups is not exactly something to be, you know, excited about. Do you think we see Drew Lock at any point in this game?
How could you not? That's what I don't understand. We know what Teddy Bridgewater is.
We know the what picture, Drew is too, though.
I don't know that we do. There's at least some mystery there. I'm willing to say that there's a chance Drew Lock could develop into at least an average quarterback. To me, you already know what Teddy is. So why not play Drew Lock? Because if you lose the games, well, that's to your benefit too, because you're going to get a higher draft pick anyway. So the Teddy Bridgewater getting the starting job never made sense to me. In a game like this where I don't even care about either team, I'll take Washington just because they're getting the points.
I will say, I'm going to actually predict that Drew Lock gets in this game. And you know why? Do you know why? I'm actually asking.
I do not.
Do you know his like celebration?
Doesn't he do Buzz Lightyear?
Yeah, he does the like Buzz Lightyear laser thing.
You're talking about the trailer that dropped this week.
Yeah, this is the week we got the Lightyear trailer. So how could it not? Fate has smiled upon, you know, we needed somebody to smile on Denver Broncos. Fate has done it. Chris Evans, Buzz Lightyear, or I don't know if his name is Buzz Lightyear. It has to be, right, in the movie?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So Drew Lock's getting in this game. Shout out to Disney and Pixar for making that happen.
Pixar is making a movie about what the origin of a toy would have been if that toy was a real person. And I'm sitting there like, shut up and take my money. Like, cannot wait to watch this movie.
Yeah. Next year, your son will go as the authentic Buzz Lightyear for Halloween. Not the toy, the person, the fictional
person.
Cool.
I would be down for that.
You can't be Woody, though, because, like, Woody's not his friend in that movie. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Woody's the friend of the
twins. I sort of have a Woody body. Like, that's sort of basically what
so
I look
you're
like.
You're willing to admit you have a Woody body, but not a Luigi body. Interesting.
I just don't know why you were like, hey, the Italian tall guy has to be Luigi. You know,
I didn't even know you were Italian. And, you know,
I mean, my last name is Guerrera. Did you think I was French?
I don't know. I didn't, you know, I didn't look you up on like ancestry.com or anything like that. You know, I didn't know.
All right. That's going
to
do it for
on the subject of that. Somebody told me to have penne vodka the other day. I've never heard of that dish. Is that like
what?
Yeah.
You've never heard of that?
I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly.
Do you know what penne is?
I didn't. I now understand, but I didn't like, I've never had vodka sauce like in my life.
Dude, like, you haven't lived.
I don't understand when people are like, oh yeah, I cooked the sauce with wine. Why? Like, what? Like, do you not have food ingredients that you can use?
Wine is food, you idiot.
I've never understood this concept. This, you know, I'm there's clearly a culinary gear of my life that I'm not reaching at this point.
Well, first of all, you need to come to the Northeast and get your penne alla vodka sauce. Come to where the real good Italian food is in the United States. Come over here. I'll treat you. We'll go out. I'll get you your penne alla vodka. We'll have some nice wine, some bread. It'll be very, very good.
I will say, last thing as we end here, there are certain shows that are you know, holes for me in my pop culture, you know, arsenal. I've never seen Seinfeld. I've told you before, we've talked a lot about this. I'm currently making my way through. I've never seen The Sopranos. That's what I'm hitting after. Look at that. Maybe we do it together. Maybe we start like a book club about it. You know what I'm saying? We hit that. We discuss it. It'd be fun.
A book club about a TV show.
Or a podcast, Stats. Geez, since we don't have enough of those already. Goodness.
Well, I'd be down for that. All right. Tell us what we're missing. If there's other shows you think we should check out. He is on Twitter at RJ Ochoa. I am at Stats on Fire. Enjoy your Thursday, everybody. If you haven't done so already, you're still listening now for a reason. You must have liked something we are talking about. Please smash that follow button. If you are already subscribed, thank you. We are incredibly grateful for you. But if you haven't left a rating and a review for us, please, please, please take an extra second and do it. It makes a big difference for us. Good luck to your Cowboys this week, RJ. I wish you well. Enjoy your Thursday again. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. We'll talk to you next week.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.